that they might be documented in all good and wholesome things. So he told them that he would grant them their request and would establish two among them, one that was of his father's court and one that was a native of Mansoul. He that is from the court, said he, is a person of no less quality and dignity than my father and I, and he is the Lord Chief Secretary of my father's house, for he is and always has been the chief dictator of all my father's laws, a person altogether well skilled in all mysteries and knowledge of mysteries, as is my father, or as myself is indeed. He is one with us in nature, and also as to loving of and being faithful to, and in the eternal concerns of the town of Mansoul. And this is he, said the prince, that must be your chief teacher, for it is he and he only that can teach you clearly in all high and supernatural things. He and he only it is that knows the ways and methods of my father at court, nor can any like him show how the heart of my father is at all times, in all things, upon all occasions, toward Mansoul. For as no man knows the things of a man but that spirit of a man which is in him, so the things of my father knows no man but this his high and mighty secretary. Nor can any, as he, tell Mansoul how and what they shall do to keep themselves in the love of my father. He also it is that can bring lost things to your remembrance, and that can tell you things to come. This teacher, therefore, must of necessity have the preeminence, both in your affections and judgment, before your other teacher, his personal dignity, the excellency of his teaching, also the great dexterity that he hath to help you to make and draw petitions to my father for your help, and to his pleasing, must lay obligations upon you to love him, fear him, and to take heed that you grieve him not. This person can put life and vigor into all he says, yea, and can also put it into your heart. This person can make seers of you, and can make you tell what shall be hereafter. By this person you must frame all your petitions to my father and me, and without his advice and counsel first obtained, let nothing enter into the town or castle of Mansoul, for that may disgust and grieve this noble person. Take heed, I say, that you do not grieve this minister, for if you do, he may fight against you, and should he once be moved by you to set himself against you in battle array, that will distress you more than if 12 legions should, from my father's court, be sent to make war upon you. But as I said, if you shall hearken unto him, and shall love him, if you shall devote yourself to his teaching, and shall seek to have converse, and to maintain communion with him, you shall find him 10 times better than is the whole world to any. Yea, he will shed abroad the love of my father in your hearts, and Mansoul will be the wisest and most blessed of all people. Then did the prince call upon him the old gentleman, who before had been the recorder of Mansoul, Mr. Conscience by name, and told him that, forasmuch as he was well skilled in the law and government of the town of Mansoul, and was also well spoken, and could pertinently deliver to them his master's will in all terrene and domestic matters, therefore he would also make him a minister for, in, and to the goodly town of Mansoul, in all the laws, statutes, and judgments of the famous town of Mansoul. And thou must, said the prince, confine thyself to the teaching of moral virtues, to civil and natural duties, but thou must not attempt to presume to be a revealer of those high and supernatural mysteries that are kept close to the bosom of Shaddai, my father. For those things know no man, nor can any reveal them but my father's secretary only. Thou art a native of the town of Mansoul, but the Lord's secretary is a native with my father. Wherefore, as thou hast knowledge of the laws and customs of the corporation, so he of the things and will of my father. Wherefore, O Mr. Conscience, although I have made thee a minister and a preacher to the town of Mansoul, yet as to the things which the Lord's secretary knoweth and shall teach to his people, there thou must be his scholar and a learner, even as the rest of Mansoul are. Thou must therefore in all high and supernatural things go to him for information and knowledge. For though there be a spirit in man, this person's inspiration must give him understanding. Wherefore, O thou, Mr. Recorder, keep low and be humble, and remember that the Diabolonians that kept not their first charge, but left their own standing, are now made prisoners in the pit. Be therefore content with thy station. I have made thee my father's vicegerent on earth, in such things of which I have made mention before, and thou take thou power to teach them to Mansoul, yea, and to impose them with whips and chastisements, if they shall not willingly hearken to do thy commandments. And, Mr. Recorder, because thou art old, and through many abuses made feeble, therefore I give thee leave and license to go, when thou wilt, to my fountain, my conduit, and there to drink freely of the blood of my grape, for my conduit doth always run wine. Thus doing thou shalt drive from thine heart and stomach all foul, gross, and hurtful humors. It will also lighten thine eyes, and will strengthen thy memory for the reception and keeping of all that the king's most noble secretary teacheth. When the prince had thus put Mr. Recorder, that once so was, into the place and office of a minister to Mansoul, and the man had thankfully accepted thereof, then did Emmanuel address himself in a particular speech to the townsmen themselves. Behold, said the prince to Mansoul, my love and care towards you. I have added to all that is past this mercy to appoint you creatures, the most noble secretary to teach you in all high and sublime mysteries. And this gentleman, pointing to Mr. Conscience, is to teach you in all things human and domestic, for therein lieth his work. He is not, by what I have said, debarred of telling to Mansoul anything that he hath heard and received at the mouth of the Lord High Secretary. Only he shall not attempt to presume to pretend to be a revealer of those high mysteries himself. For the breaking of them up and the discovery of them to Mansoul lieth only in the power, authority, and skill of the Lord High Secretary himself. Talk of them he may, and so may the rest of the town of Mansoul. Yea, and may, as occasion gives them opportunity, press them upon each other for the benefit of the whole. These things, therefore, I would have you observe and do, for it is for your life and the lengthening of your days. And one thing more to my beloved Mr. Recorder and to all the town of Mansoul. You must not dwell in, nor stay upon, anything of that which he hath in commission to teach you, as to your trust and expectation of the next world. Of the next world, I say, for I propose to give another to Mansoul when this with them is worn out. But for that you must wholly and solely have recourse to, and make stay upon his doctrine, that is your teacher after the first order. Yea, Mr. Recorder himself must not look for life from that which he himself revealeth. His dependence for that must be founded in the doctrine of the other preacher. Let Mr. Recorder also take heed that he receive not any doctrine or point of doctrine that is not communicated to him by his superior teacher, nor yet within the precincts of his own formal knowledge. Now after the prince had thus settled things in the famous town of Mansoul, he proceeded to give to the elders of the corporation a necessary caution, to wit, how they should carry it to the high and noble captains that he had, from his father's court, sent or brought with him to the famous town of Mansoul. These captains, said he, do love the town of Mansoul, and they are picked men, picked out of abundance, as men that best suit, and that will most faithfully serve in the wars of Shaddai against the Diabolonians, for the preservation of the town of Mansoul. I charge you therefore, said he, O ye inhabitants of the now flourishing town of Mansoul, that you carry it not ruggedly or untowardly to my captains or their men, since, as I said, they are picked and choice men, men chosen out of many for the good of the town of Mansoul. I say, I charge you, that you carry it not untowardly to them, for though they have the hearts and faces of lions, when at any time they shall be called forth to engage and fight with the king's foes and the enemies of the town of Mansoul, yet a little discountenance cast upon them from the town of Mansoul will deject and cast down their faces, will weaken and take away their courage. Do not, therefore, O my beloved, carry it unkindly to my valiant captains and courageous men of war, but love them, nourish them, succor them, and lay them in your bosoms, and they will not only fight for you, but cause to fly from you all those Diabolonians that seek and will, if possible, be your utter destruction. If therefore any of them should at any time be sick or weak, and so not able to perform that office of love, which with all their hearts they are willing to do, and will do also when well and in health, slight them not, nor despise them, but rather strengthen them and encourage them, though weak and ready to die, for they are your fence and your guard, your wall, your gates, your locks, and your bars. And although when they are weak, they can do but little, but rather need to be helped by you, then that you should then expect great things from them. Yet, when well, you know what exploits, what feats and warlike achievements they are able to do and will perform for you. Besides, if they be weak, the town of Mansoul cannot be strong. If they be strong, then Mansoul cannot be weak. Your safety, therefore, doth lie in their health and in your countenancing them. Remember also that if they be sick, they catch that disease of the town of Mansoul itself. These things I have said unto you because I love your welfare and your honor. Observe, therefore, O my Mansoul, to be punctual in all things that I have given in charge unto you, and that not only as a town corporate, and so to your officers and guard, and guides in chief, but to you as you are a people whose well-being as single persons depends on the observation of the orders and commandments of their Lord. Next, O my Mansoul, I do warn you of that, of which, notwithstanding that reformation that at present is wrought among you, you have need to be warned about. Wherefore, hearken diligently unto me. I am now sure, and you will know hereafter, that there are yet of the Diabolonians remaining in the town of Mansoul, Diabolonians that are sturdy and implacable, and that do already while I am with you, and that will yet more when I am from you, study, plot, contrive, invent, and jointly attempt to bring you to desolation, and so to a state far worse than that of the Egyptian bondage. They are the avowed friends of Diabolus, therefore look about you. They used heretofore to lodge with their prince in the castle, when Incredulity was the Lord Mayor of this town. But since my coming hither they lie more in the outsides and walls, and have made themselves dens and caves and holes and strongholds therein. Wherefore, O Mansoul, thy work as to this will be so much the more difficult and hard, that is, to take, mortify, and put them to death according to the will of my father. Nor can you utterly rid yourself of them unless you should pull down the walls of your town, the which I am by no means willing you should. Do you ask me, what shall we do then? Why be you diligent, and quit you like men? Observe their holes, find out their haunts, assault them, and make no peace with them. Wherever they haunt, lurk, or abide, and what terms of peace soever they offer you, abhor, and all shall be well betwixt you and me. And that you may the better know them from those that are the natives of Mansoul, I will give you this brief schedule of the names of the chief of them, and they are these that follow. The Lord Fornication, the Lord Adultery, the Lord Murder, the Lord Anger, the Lord Lasciviousness, the Lord Deceit, the Lord Evil Eye, Mr. Drunkenness, Mr. Reveling, Mr. Idolatry, Mr. Witchcraft, Mr. Variance, Mr. Emulation, Mr. Wrath, Mr. Strife, Mr. Sedition, and Mr. Hearsay. These are some of the chief, O Mansoul, of those that will seek to overthrow thee forever. These, I say, are the skulkers in Mansoul, but look thou well into the law of thy king, and there thou shalt find their physiognomy, and such other characteristical notes of them, by which they certainly may be known. These, O my Mansoul, and I would gladly that you should certainly know it, if they be suffered to run and range about the town as they would, will quickly like vipers eat out your bowels, yea, poison your captains, cut the sinews of your soldiers, break the bars and bolts of your gates, and turn your now most flourishing mansle into a barren and desolate wilderness and ruinous heap. Wherefore, that you may take courage to yourself to apprehend these villains wherever you find them, I give to you, my Lord Mayor, my Lord Will-be-Will, and Mr. Recorder, with all the inhabitants of the town of Mansell, full power and commission to seek out, to take, and to cause to be put to death by the cross, all and all manner of Diabolonians, when and wherever you shall find them to lurk within or to range without the walls of the town of Mansell. I told you before that I have placed a standing ministry among you, not that you have but these with you. For my first four captains who came against the master and lord of the Diabolonians that was in Mansell, they can, and if need be, and if they be required, will not only privately inform but publicly preach to the corporation both good and wholesome doctrine, and such as shall lead you in the way. Yea, they will set up a weekly, yea, if need be, a daily lecture in thee, O Mansell, and will instruct thee in such profitable lessons that, if heeded, will do thee good at the end. And take good heed that you spare not the men that you have a commission to take and crucify. Now, as I have set before your eyes the vagrants and runagates by name, so I will tell you that among yourselves some of them shall creep in to beguile you, even such as would seem, and that in appearance are, very rife and hot for religion. And they, if you watch not, will do you a mischief, such as one as at present you cannot think of. These, as I said, will show themselves to you in another hue than those under description before. Wherefore, Mansell, watch and be sober, and suffer not thyself to be betrayed. Chapter 10. When the prince had thus far new modeled the town of Mansell, and had instructed them in such matters as were profitable for them to know, then he appointed another day in which he intended, when the townsfolk came together, to bestow a further badge of honor upon the town of Mansell, a badge that should distinguish them from all the people, kindreds, and tongues that dwell in the kingdom of universe. Now it was not long before the day appointed was come, and the prince and his people met in the king's palace, where first Emmanuel made a short speech unto them, and then did for them as he had said, and unto them as he had promised. My Mansell, said he, that which I now am about to do is to make you known to the world to be mine, and to distinguish you also in your own eyes from all false traitors that may creep in among you. Then he commanded that those that waited upon him should go and bring forth out of his treasury those white and glistening robes that I, said he, have provided and laid up in store for my Mansell. So the white garments were fetched out of his treasury and laid forth to the eyes of the people. Moreover, it was granted to them that they should take them and put them on, according, said he, to your size and stature. So the people were put into white, into fine linen, white and clean. Then said the prince unto them, This, O Mansell, is my livery, and the badge by which mine are known from the servants of others. Yea, it is that which I grant to all that are mine, and without which no man is permitted to see my face. Wear them therefore for my sake, who gave them unto you, and also if you would be known by the world to be mine. But now can you think how Mansell shone? It was fair as the sun, clear as the moon, and terrible as an army with banners. The prince added further and said, No prince, potentate, or mighty one of universe giveth this livery but myself. Behold, therefore, as I said before, you shall be known by it to be mine. And now, said he, I have given you my livery. Let me give you also a commandment concerning them, and be sure that you take good heed to my words. First, wear them daily, day by day, lest you should at some times appear to others as if you were none of mine. Second, keep them always white, for if they be soiled, it is dishonor to me.